Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Mr. Kalibala, a very happy belated birthday. Amen. I know your children are testifying down there, and they are saying you're right age, by the way. Hallelujah. Seven, if you don't tell us somehow, your wife who is down there, she'll give you the report. Amen. It's good to see all of us here today. They say, some people say that this is the week of Basam Kolirachi. Mpa, you another week. That meaning the children are going back to school. But that is not your portion, amen? So do not allow to say those things. Don't even allow to joke about them, because fees may disappear, okay? So don't even joke about those things. You say that the Lord is going to provide, amen? As he has always done, the Lord is faithful. Let us appreciate the worship team once again. Yes. And also, again, I want to welcome Dennis. You know, Dennis is a man that sojourns this land. He has been to places that I haven't been to. And every time he comes back, yeah, you're glad that he's not in the basement. Amen? Yeah. Making, unlearning things, yeah? So I want to thank God. But before I go on to the sermon for today, I just want to encourage us to pray for this nation. Let us pray for our country. Yeah, the things that are happening around us, you'll be a very, very unserious Christian if you never prayed about your country, especially during this time when such a critical phase. And he who has an ear, let him hear. Let us watch, but let us pray as well. Amen. Yeah, so last week, Pastor and Geraldine, your wife, very welcome back. And the children, my friends, Eden and Abby, welcome back. It's good to have you. Sometimes things are not the same. You think that they would be when people are away, but hey, yeah, but you're very welcome, Pastor. Last week, we talked about spiritual progress. And I realized that as I was preaching, I kept on switching up spiritual progress and spiritual maturity. Why? Because one is a journey, the other one is a destination. Amen? So we talked about spiritual maturity, which is spiritual growth or spiritual progress, whichever you want to. If you feel maturity is such a big word and challenges you, just decide to take it as spiritual progress or growth. And then we talked about the fact that God wants us to invest in our spiritual lives. And we also acknowledge the fact that your spiritual life is like the battery for your life. It is supposed to be, if you call yourself a Christian, your control room in your life is your spiritual life. Amen? So if something is not okay there, there's going to be a problem. Amen? And then we also say that God desires that we grow. God desires that as Christians, we make progress. People will say, even going back is progress. No, it's not. Going back is retrogression. That is not progress. Progress is only forward looking. Amen? And so God wants us that when we get born again, we continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, you will ask me how do you know that you have arrived? I forgot to tell you last week that there is nothing like arrival in the things of the Spirit. What will happen is that you will actually, in many cases, get to a place where you get more understanding of certain areas or certain disciplines, and your experience on earth changes. But the full maturity, the Bible says that we shall come to the full maturity when we are with what? The body of Christ, when we are with Jesus Christ. Amen? But while we are here on earth, our work, our charge is to actually continue moving forward. Amen? And we also said that according to Galatians 4:1, I'm going to put it up there. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. I use this verse to explain to us or to remind us that an heir is a bona fide owner of things, a rightful owner of things. But it's possible that this heir can live as a slave. Why? Because they are childish. Glory to God. And so what will make the difference between us, an heir and a slave, is this factor of maturity, of progress. Glory to God. Nobody, when they are still young, even if you're the rightful owner of your father's inheritance, you're a ranch somewhere, 10 cows, 1,000, you're not going to assume that place of authority until you reach a certain age. Hallelujah. When you're no longer a child. Even it happens for kings. I remember the king of Toro when he was a little boy. You remember his crowning? It was such a big thing. I had never seen something like that. Whereas for the kingdom of Buganda, it was different because a man went on the throne. A man, a full-blown grown man, assumed the throne of his father. But when it came to my husband's side, the Batoro, or the Toro kingdom, the highly esteemed Toro kingdom, it was a baby, yeah, who was put in that place, but you never saw this young child take on responsibilities of the kingdom. He was entrusted with the authority. The authority was entrusted to him, but executed by other people. Glory to God. Now, for as long as a Christian, for as long as you and I are in that place where we are children, we're not going to live in the authority of the heir. There are some things that are not going to happen for us. Why? Because we are still young. We don't have that capacity. I also told us that some of the things that we continually pray for and fervently pray for, things which are in the will of God, await a certain time. That time is not a season. That time is not a month in the year. It awaits a place or a point of growth for you, a place of maturity. Hallelujah. So you're not going to see some of those prayers. And by the day, I mean that God hasn't spoken. God could have actually spoken to you and told you something very authentic. You know you have had your dream and you pray fervently about this thing and it's not coming to pass. Why? You cannot say it's God's fault. You cannot say there are powers and principalities that are holding your what? Your answer, no. Sometimes, actually, it's that your capacity is still small. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people who I know the Lord has promised them billions and billions. Their kingdom what? Financials. That's what they want to say. Their kingdom financials, wealth creators. But until they reach a certain place of maturity God has seen that you have, I've given you 20K, you're faithful in that 20K, you're faithful in the 30, in the 40, in the 50. But now that a billion is not going to come. Until you reach a place of maturity where you can handle this money. Otherwise, the money will kill you faster than anything else. Amen. Yeah. So that's what we talked about last week. And also we looked at Luke 2:52, where the Bible says that, and the Lord Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, in stature and favor before God and men. And I was very keen to point out the fact that increase means progress. Increase means growth. Amen. Everyone, like you do not increase in a day. You increase slowly by slowly. Hallelujah. It's like a tally method. One by one by one makes a what? A bundle. Hallelujah. So we realized, we were reminded last week that Jesus Christ grew. He grew. This is God incarnate. It wasn't imparted on him. Spiritual favor wasn't imparted on him. Stature wasn't imparted on him. Wisdom wasn't imparted on him. Hallelujah. He grew. There was progress. There was work. Hallelujah. God, who was born, Jesus born in a manger. You don't see him being born, and his mother is telling him, you know what? Go to shower, and he's walking on water. No, it didn't happen that way. Hallelujah. But this is God, the owner, the creator of the universe. He grew. So for as long as we're in this body, there is expectation of growth. And now, the reason why I want to tell us about this is because of two things. We are living in very, very dangerous times, perilous times, evil times, and the Lord's return is at hand. That's number one. Number two, it's because growth, or it has a time frame. Beyond a certain time, you will not grow. You'll be, when you're dead, that's it. Omazechi, emirimu jo, the work is done. Hallelujah. It is so sad for you to die at 150 years and in the spirit, you have never entered your place as an heir. In the spirit, you're a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we need to grow. And especially for us, LAT, God has promised us many things, many things. God swore we have all these beautiful and wonderful promises. But some of these promises will come to pass awaiting a certain age, a certain point of maturity. God, even if he's loving and we talk about him as faithful, as wonderful, as what, he is not going to give us things that are going to destroy us because we cannot handle them. God loves you so, so much. Amen? And that is why if you know and if you have that angle in your mind about the prayers that you make, that means that the things of Nkoye and Sabide and I'm tired, that should stop. Amen? Because you understand that the things that you're praying for await a certain point of your growth. So there shouldn't be anything like, I am tired of praying for this thing. Why is it not coming? No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I listen to many, many, many of the testimonies of mighty men and women of God, people that have done exploits in the kingdom of God, all of them will tell you, there was a time when I had 2 members in church. There was a time when I prayed and ngatebikola. But then I grew. I got to know God. I grew. I made progress. I increased. Hallelujah. None of them was born knowing. Even, you know? No. Many of them have that testimony of through patience, through obedience, I actually go to a place of, the Bible says in James that I'm going to paraphrase that patience will have its perfect work in you. Yeah, I know I've said that thing in the middle. But the point of having perfect work in us, when the word has perfect work in you, it just simply means that now you have gotten to a place of maturity, not sinlessness. That you are perfect, lacking nothing. Not that you are perfect and you are sinless. You are perfect in the sense of you have matured. Now you do not lack anything. Hallelujah. So today we are going to talk about how to make progress. Again, last week we said that spiritual maturity is very predictable. Hallelujah. It is predictable. We are not talking about things we cannot predict. We're not talking about things that can't be done, things which are abstract, nedda. The Bible, the Word of God, has given us ways and things that we can do to ensure that we are constantly moving forward. Amen? Many times people make, we talk about it here in LAT, and there's a time we'll tell people, ask God how you are. Chimili deshtia. Ask God that, God, how am I doing? And some people say that they fear to ask the Lord. Yeah? But the truth is that sometimes someone stagnates, someone stops growing. You've seen those things. A child stops growing. Everything is there. Maybe their child is not being fed well, and the child doesn't continue growing. They stunt in their growth. They stop hitting milestones. But let me tell you, for a Christian, if you stand long enough in a place, you'll backslide. Now, this is why it's important to always make movement. Glory to God. It is important to always make movement concerning the things of the Spirit. Amen? Because when you stay in a place for long, you start becoming comfortable, you start becoming complacent, familiar with the things of God, little by little, you'll find yourself at the end of the year when it's easy for you to what? To compromise, to backslide, to fall into sin. And the end thereof is the hell that we always talk about. Glory to God. Many of the people who have lost their salvation, this is how it starts. Slowly, comfortable. They stop growing. They stay in one place. Nothing, as in they stay in one, before you know it, their conscience is so seared. And guess what? Before you know it, the person is no longer born again. Amen? So this is why it's important for us to always be on the move, to always be on, to always seek the things of God. The move I'm talking about is always seek, always desire to be better than you were yesterday. Amen? Always desire. And let's make it a habit to ask God how we are doing. Let me tell you, like a child, when you have a baby, when you have a child, you take them to hospital the first how many months, you even have the what? The immunization card, upon which they keep writing the milestones of the child. If you go to hospital and you find the child lost weight, then you're going to go back and you correct the what? The diet. If they have been sick, you're going to address that. Amen? I have plants at home. Many times, my plants sometimes, honestly, they break my heart. Others, I just get them, I throw them away. Others have attitude, I threaten them, only for them to grow. When I have ignored them, also given them attitude, then they grow. Yeah, like someone told me here one day that I should never have chased some plant away from my home because it showed me fire. After it left, it grew. Yeah, but you see, even you as a child of God, you should always ask God, how am I doing? So that God can tell you, not to condemn you, but to help you continue on the path of growth. If you do not ask God to tell you, people will tell you, and people are not nice. Hallelujah. People are not nice when they are telling you that you're doing something wrong. So you had rather ask God, Nemukama, for me, you tell me my things, search my heart, or else someone else is going to search your conduct. Yeah? And then they will tell you, so ask God, search my heart. And when you're not hitting a certain milestone, the Lord will tell you. If you have worse, and you're not believing what God is saying, he will give you an exam. And you get your marks and you say, now you see, you were tested in this area in patience and you didn't perform well. Amen? That was not on the script. Amen? So let us go to how to grow. How to grow. One, prayer. We know about this LAT. We shall continue saying this when we are this few, when we are many. We shall say it on Thursday when we have even come to pray. We shall still say we need to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. Luke 18:1. And he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That men always ought to pray. Not some preachers, not only John on Sunday, not only men. Are you a man? Okay. Are you a human being? You ought to pray. You ought to pray. And guess what? Always. God told us to push. I think it was last year, right? I don't know if people are still pushing, but some people, when they receive some messages, they push and they're like, that was a message for 2024. At the close of the year, like this, they're like, what next? But before you go to what next, show me what your pushing has accomplished. Yeah? So men ought to always pray. And we are told to pray without ceasing. If you take prayer for granted, if prayer ever becomes that thing that you have to do to fill time, ask yourself if you're really growing. There are places in prayer, and sometimes when I'm praying, I feel it. Just like there are levels in worship. We had a very beautiful session here. But there are times when you worship God, and you feel like something has changed, something has shifted. Praise is the one who tells us, ogendechi, ebuziba. going deeper from the outer courts into the inner courts until some people wear the Lord's garment. I don't know. Yeah, but there are stages, there are levels in prayer, there are levels in worship. So if you always pray, and even by the way, I've heard someone saying that tongues change, tongues evolve, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives you utterance. There are some times when you're praying a tongue and you feel like something has changed in the atmosphere. You feel like something has moved. Glory to God. And you have gone deeper and deeper. So, LAT, prayer is important. I don't even know why we still have a few people in our prayer meetings. And Mr. Kalibala comes here and he testifies about the power of prayer. I'm not saying that only in our prayer meetings do we have power, but I want to see many of us making time, making that sacrifice, making that commitment to come for the prayer meeting. Glory to God. It is only 2 meetings in LAT. For me, this is our, when I'm talking to people about LAT, I use it as a USP. We have only 2 meetings. Because nowadays when you tell people you have 7 meetings, they're like, what? 7 programs? I'll come for the 5th. So for me, I cut all that story short and I say we have only 2 meetings. We meet on Sunday and Thursday. Hallelujah. So if you cannot make it for these 2 meetings consistently, ask yourself, where was I last week on Thursday? Where were you? Yeah? Where were you? I'm seeing people here. People are looking down. Where are you? Hallelujah. In prayer, we grow and we are transformed. Luke 9:29. This is Jesus. As Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. This happened when the Lord was praying. There are things that, you know, we have the, now we have the advantage of knowing what happened to him. But many things happen behind the scenes when you are praying. Things change in the spirit. And you may never know because maybe there is no apparition as it was for our Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that when our Lord Jesus Christ was praying, his face was altered. There was transformation, as in physical transformation. Now, it's obvious that by the time this man, Jesus Christ, is transformed like this physically, there's something that is happening in his heart. Glory to God. The Lord will rarely do something on the outside before he does something on the inside. Glory to God. When you're reading the Bible, ask yourself some of these questions. Hallelujah. So prayer transforms us. It changes us. Okay, if you also want to be like the Lord, where your appearance is changed, that's also fine. It can be a goal in prayer. Amen? But more so for the things on the inside. Jude 1:20, this is what we stand on. One of the scriptures that we stand on in the prayer meetings. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You build your what? Yourself up through prayer. Glory to God. You build yourself up. You grow. In other words, you increase when you're praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why we shouldn't take prayer for granted. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Many times people, this is people's what? Excuse. The flesh is weak. But we're not given this scripture so that we can use it as an excuse. Actually, it says, watch and pray. Watch and what? That is the subject of that verse. Watch and pray. Don't just watch. Don't be distracted in prayer. Yeah? Don't be there swiping away. Yeah? Don't be there. You know, don't be distracted. Watch and pray. Lest you fall into what? Into temptation. One of the ways we get strong and we can stand under very adversity and temptations is because we'll have what? We'll have prayed. Hallelujah. So, and also when we are praying, one of the things that happens is in prayer is, and this is where I think people don't want to, maybe they don't find it interesting. When we are working in, when we are praying, when we come before God in prayer, it is us telling God, I'm here to work with you. I am here. I'm here to partner with you. Nzize. Glory to God. So if you do not pray, that means that you're not showing up for your work. Hallelujah. You're not showing up to partner with God. Why? Because God cannot use trees. God uses human beings. And when you come before him to pray about anything, or at home, at your workplace, you're telling God, this is my testament that I'm partnering with you in this matter. Why? Because in prayer we decree things. In prayer we stand against the wiles of the enemy. In prayer we do so many things happen. And that is your job. So you ask yourself, when was the last time I actually went before God seriously and did my work and told him, I'm here to partner with you? Hallelujah. In prayer also, we are able to wage warfare, to make intercession. Hallelujah. Warfare and intercession. Ephesians 6:12, you know that for as long as you are on this earth, that target, you're a target, you're a moving target of the devil. Not just Dr. Mjim, Baba Nangi, every one of us here. The devil, you're a target of, you can be getting out of here, and by the way, on the stairs, you trip, and you what? You are spraining your ankle, and that's the work of the enemy. You might be going out of the taxi like this, and the dog grabs your dress, your trouser, and rips it. There are some things that happen, and I'm like, why? Yeah, why should my skirt get ripped? Okunswaza, yeah. Then what am I supposed to do? Those things, you're walking, minding your business, and you fall. Diggy loss just. There are some. You are a moving target. You are a what? You're wearing flat shoes. You're not even wearing, you know, the high shoe. What? You're walking your business, singing. And guess what? Papa, out of the blue, you just trip and what? And fall. Why? Because there are powers and principalities in this world. And for as long as it is to your discomfort, to your detriment, to your disadvantage, the devil will do it. He will come at you. All right? So Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Eleti, they have given you the CV of your enemy. Hallelujah. This is the CV. This is what they look like. Whether you believe it or not, that is the CV of the guys that we fight against in spiritual warfare. However, this is our saving grace. Colossians 2:15, that Jesus disarmed them. He disarmed all of them. When we come here and we sing, your name is above every other name, above every power, every principality. These are things that we need. Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen? Warfare. This is what we do. We fight from a place of winning. We are victors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in prayer, we are able to actually bring our supplications before God. If you're a child, you will always, if you're a child in the spirit, you know children, when they are still in their mother's wombs, they depend on the immunity of their mother, all right? And when they get out, it is the mother, the parents, that keep checking them to hospital whenever they fall sick. But when you're an adult, you take yourself to hospital when you're sick, amen? And I know some men even refuse. They are like, let us first what? Let us first pray. And it takes the pastor intervening that banang. Eh? Let me tell you about this one time when Sam was sick. Sam got sick. He got a very bad cough. Cold. Very heavy, bad cold. And you know when a man is sick, when a man coughs, man, it's not like, a man coughs and you see paint about to get ripped off the walls. So Sam is standing in faith. He's standing believing the Lord. What? But at night, my friend, me, I'm not sleeping. Why? Because he would cough, wah, wah, wah. The whole, you know, that bad, irritating cough. I felt so bad for him. So I tell him, but Sam, you go and what? And see the doctor. Sam said, me, I'm believing. So it became a matter of, oh, so you're whatevering my faith. I'm like, but I need to sleep. This is the third day I'm not sleeping. The first day, you tough it out. You're like, okay. The second day, but when you have not slept for 3 straight days and someone is believing for them, they are healing. Yeah? They are willing. They get up, wah, wah, wah. They cough, turn in bed, cough. Then, you know, I think at one point he developed a very bad fever. So the heat, it was like an, I don't know, like, it was so hot. The thing was, you know, the thing, Sam was emitting a lot of, the thing meaning the bed, but it was so hot, I was very uncomfortable. So I tell him, Sam, please. Meanwhile, I was also believing, but Sam, for him, he didn't want to take what? He didn't want to take medicine. So we went through that period. Somehow the Lord intervened and he was healed. The next one happened. This time I was like, this time, you know what they mean? Okubo mulanga, eh? Like I shouted, Ali, yeah? I think I told Dennis, I'm like, Dennis, please talk to Sam because I need to sleep. Why? Because I knew what he was going to take me through. I'm like, yeah. So it became, I think we talked about it in the marriage fellowship. Yeah, like for you, if you're believing for healing, how can the other person? Now Sam was feeling like Joan is not being what? Supportive of me. She's not supporting me. She's taking me out of my faith. Yet, for me, on the other hand, I'm like, but I also want to sleep. I'm supporting you, but one of us must sleep at night. Yeah? So this time, I don't even know what happened. I don't know if Miss Dr. Mjimba talked to him as a doctor or what. I saw medicine besides the nightstand there. I'm like, the Lord can still work through what? So we had that second time. It was smooth. He got the medicine, took it, but he kept on praying for what? For healing. Some of these things when you're married, they are very interesting. Amen? Yeah, but I told him, no. I needed to sleep. I really needed to sleep. Hallelujah. But the man was growing in faith. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Spiritual what? Growth. Hallelujah. Yeah, so you, when you are still a child, when you're a child, you depend on other people. When you're spiritually mature in some areas, you're going to depend on other people, like a child does. But once you get mature, now people expect you to do some things. You have to take yourself to hospital. Nobody's going to take you to hospital. You have to buy medicine. You have to do things to make sure that your well-being is not compromised. Or if it is, you have to go and get a solution for those things. So one of the things, one of the ways to grow is actually, I've talked about prayer, I've talked about, I've talked about prayer and the place of prayer in our lives, amen? So that we don't depend on people, you don't depend on your musumba for everything, you don't get confused, you know you can discern and see that, Joanne, even if she's charismatic on prayer when it comes to this matter, let me do something else. Don't come to me for everything, spoon feeding you all the time. Bambi being a pastor, there is a time a pastor would even ever send, there's someone here, pastor's very, very good friend. Pastor, I'm feeding a konyo. Me, I said me. Ah, let that one be for Pastor Moses, yeah? He would send scriptures. Remind the person, have you read? Do you know the scriptures pastor is sending? The gospels. You would think he's sending revelation, like deep things about what gospel Mark. Have you read Mark today? And he would say, but John, I have to do this because, man, I'm the pastor, but the sheep wasn't reading any of those things. If they were reading those things, they would be in church today. Hallelujah. So you can see where that sheep is. You can tell if they have made progress or not because they are not here. Amen. And I know that pastor has sent scriptures to so many people, so I'm safe even saying that. So people are wondering, was it me when he sent me Mark? Was it me when he sent me John? But yeah, how to grow? We must invest in prayer, or else we shall be baby Christians. Or else we shall be baby Christians. And in prayer, you are able to discern what to pray for, what not to pray for. People don't even know that there are things that the Lord will tell you, do not touch it, sabide, you just leave it. Leave that. Don't. When you have invested in, if you want to know if your prayer life is growing, you get to that point where you can discern and you say, no, this is the will of God and this is what we are going to pray for. This is what I'm going to pray for. This is not the will of God for me to pray about it at that time. Hallelujah. You know, God is that beautiful father, that wonderful father. You know, you cannot go to your dad all the time to talk about things that you want, what? No. You should be able to discern and say, Mzee Katiwali, what does he want me to talk about? I see now with my father-in-law, he's old. So I have to be wise when I'm approaching him and talking to him. I have to know what is he in the mood to talk about. That is my father-in-law. What is he in the mood to talk about today? Champions League, I am on zero. I'm like, aha, Joan, you can't talk about Champions League. You can't even have a whole conversation in Lutoro. What am I going to talk about? But there are things that I talk to him about. Amen? Though for a very short time, I will not indulge him talk about things that I'm not sure he doesn't want to talk about. So, Muleka, okay? But the times when we have spoken, there are things that, you know, and that is how God is. You must be able to discern, what does the Father want me to pray about? What does he want us to talk about today in my prayer time? Amen? That is growing, not so. But if you're always going before God, like someone once said, you go before God and you puke all over him. Eh? Anything that comes, you know, you're just, you're just talking, you're just throwing up all over. That is not it. As a Christian, you must be able to make progress from such prayers. You know, a child will come to you as a parent. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, children, they will come when you're right in the middle of a very serious thing. And they will say, like, mommy, I kicked my ball and it went. Your mind is on, even like the times when I'm praying, I'm in the house moving around praying. The child has been seeing me pacing, praying, what? Then they come and tell me, do you know where my ball has gone? I'm like, your ball? Which ball? So they said, you see, I was kicking it outside, then it bounced 2 times, pa, pa. And then on the 3rd time, I didn't see it. Then, you know, and I'm like, but I don't even want to engage on your ball at this time. Okay? That is how some baby Christians are. You go before God, you don't care. You don't care. All you're doing is just, telling him your things, telling him your things. Okay? Sometimes parents, I hear parents saying, no. But if you come before your parent with something that they want to hear, let me tell you, it may not matter so much what they are doing. They'll be like, what is it that you want to tell me? That is how we are with God, by the way. So don't be a baby Christian. Don't stay there anger for you all. Well, your prayer is just about you, yourself, getting everything you can as fast as you can, and you get out of there. And you come back the next day, do the same thing, and you get out of there. We have to even progress in prayer. Amen? Number 2, the Word of God. How do we pray? How do we grow? How do we keep making progress? L-A-T, the Word of God. It will be your guide. Amen? It will be your guide whether you are a baby Christian, an in-between Christian, an old Christian, whether you are great at dreams, at your prophetic, you're this powerful apostle. The Word of God will always help you to grow. Amen? The Word of God is our food. The Bible refers to the Word as manna. Manna from heaven. All right? So the Word of God is our food. It's our daily bread. Not the one in Capital Shoppers. It is our daily bread. When we pray, Father, give me my daily bread, what do you think you're praying for? Give me the Word. Not necessarily the money. It is the Word of God. Why? Because when you have that Word of God, it will produce that money. It will bring the money to you. Acts 20, 32. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified or among the saints. Okay? Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up. You want to continue growing. You want to continue being built up. It is not on prophecies. God knows that prophecies are part of it. Dreams are part of those things. But what will help you continue making spiritual progress is the word of God. Hallelujah. When there is no dream, there are those times now for us who are, you know, you feel you're gifted, you go without aids. The pastor says a serious dream. But for me, sometimes there's even no unserious dream. I went to bed. I woke up like I had been dead for like 6 hours. Nothing. I was there in the secret place under the earth. There, nothing, zero. Yeah? In the basement. Let me tell you, when in those times, you cannot say that the Lord is not speaking. I get the Bible. And I'm like, God, you spoke from Genesis 1 to Revelations. You cannot tell me that right now, in the 3 months, you're not going to speak to me. No. This Bible, you know how many words those are. There are so many. That is God speaking from the beginning to the end. Amen? So you cannot tell me that because I have not dreamt for 3 months, a serious dream, but demo basement, mu darkness, but I'll come out like Eddie Mutwe. No. Would there have been walloping me, the devil, what, because I don't have the word of God? Absolutely not. I get that word. I will read it. Why? Because it is God speaking to you. And by him speaking to you, you are actually growing. You hear your father's voice. Hallelujah. So the word of God is able to build us up. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15. But you must continue, L.A.T., you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You have known from childhood, now that you're old now, from the time we started out in L.A.T., the time we started congregating as L.A.T., as when we were children, as a young church, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You want wisdom. You don't know what to do. Start with the word of God. Hallelujah. Start with the word of God, where scriptures are able to make you wise. Wise for what? For salvation, so that you work it out. Hallelujah. So, one of the things that I see people doing, people who say they are Christians, they say things and I can see it's foolishness. And that is how you can know that, oh, no, ne Bible tajisoma. They are not reading their Bible. Once you start saying, you can't even quote a scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. If I ask you John 3:16 and you have to first say, ha, then you say it, that means there's a problem. There are some scriptures you shouldn't be like, okay. Then you say, for God so loved the world. They should just come out. You want wisdom. You don't know how to walk on this earth. You don't know what to do in a certain circumstance. The word of God. By this, people have become, by ignoring the word of God, people have stayed in a place of immaturity and they are easily lied to by any doctrines that come their way. Why? Because they don't want to exert themselves. Studying the word of God calls for exertion. It is boring sometimes. Sometimes you are distracted. But now, we are in a place where things have been made easy. If reading it is distracting you or it's becoming difficult on a certain day, you have the audio Bible. Yeah? You have the audio. Now, the audio Bibles have gone to another level. When they are maybe describing like the Old Testament experiences of David in war and what, man, they even sound effects. I said, what? Like, you hear even horses, chiji, 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 in the background. Then you hear, gwe. You should listen to the audio version of David and Goliath. It's amazing. In the thing. Why? Because now even their sound, what? Their sound effects. And when, I think I had, when Goliath fell, Banange the third was too loud for me. I was like, what? When I see in that part when, you know, David hit Goliath, it's not the same as, and David got the stone and said, you, uncircumcised Philistine. It wasn't like that in my ears. It was action on action. Yeah? The way he said, you uncircumcised, I knew Goliath had just a few minutes. And when the stone hit him, even the sound effect of the stone, because it was hitting a giant, the sound effect alone, I was like, what? And when Goliath fell, it was like an earthquake. Yeah? I took off the, because I'm not, I don't, sometimes I don't like that, a lot of, you know, boom, 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 yeah? That music, that chidongo, what? I just knew that this is not my place, as in. But I know that now where we are in this wicked time that we live in right, that we're living in right now, you do not have any excuse not to listen to the word of God. You don't have, sound effects are there in our audios. Hallelujah. Glory. And then even they ask you, do you want a lady to, you know, things are, yeah, would you want a lady to like the voice of a lady or a male voice? Then choose which voice you want to listen to. So, of course, if you're going to listen to the story of Elizabeth and Mary, Bambi, don't use a man's voice. But the ladies will say, hey, highly favored one. But what? It's dramatic. But the point is, this is the word of God that we are commending you to, by which you will grow. Hallelujah. Amen. So some people can be there, then they come and ask you, so, man, I can say, why are you not reading the Bible? You know, my problems are so many. I don't even feel I can read. I'm like, do you know how much drama the Bible has? Do you know how much drama? Family drama, it is there. Rebecca and the twins. That drama was epic. Yeah? You want people, oh, you know, nobody listens to me. You read about David and how people are snitching on me at work. You know what Ahithophel did to David? Yeah? Do you know what Absalom did to David? A whole king is on the what? On the run. The son has, you know, done many things. Say, Mabanemi, I feel lonely. What I'm suffering. Do you know the loneliness Job felt? That book has a lot of drama. That book has a lot of drama. Amen? So when you're reading the word of God, you're going to grow by it. You're going to realize, I have not seen nothing. I have not suffered this much. Okay? Guy is banging you on the head. Hey. But so-and-so stole my money, they didn't pay back. So, you ask Jesus about the 30 pieces of silver. He will say, my friend, 30, bantwalida ku 30, sweet, 30 pieces of silver. You're saying, oh, the other guy was on my side, nebamugula, what, I think, you know, they are licking the boss. What? I'm like, you ask Jesus about the 30 pieces of silver. Ask him how it felt. He knew what was going to happen, but he still went ahead and asked him. He will tell you 30 pieces of silver. All right? So the Bible has a lot of drama, but these experiences were written beforehand for us. Hallelujah. It is not just to entertain us, but to let you know that you know what? Eh? You have going through a troublesome marriage. Man, Hosea. Hey guys, have you read? Do you know what happened to Hosea? Oh my God. That was something else. Okay? That was something else. It was, my goodness. Even think about it now. I'm like, marriages shouldn't have any deal breakers. If it doesn't go in the category of Hosea's marriage, If you haven't read about it, it's a good time to go and read. Grace Joy. If it doesn't make it there, you don't have any deal breaker. You don't have. Glory to God. I'm old. I haven't yet found a spouse. You're old, you haven't yet found a spouse. Find somewhere in the Bible where it is written. It is, those things are there. You're there thinking, oh, you know, wealth, yeah, you know, too much wealth. Oh, guy, you're from a saint. Hey, that person used to be a good person. Oh, but you know, they used to love the Lord. They got money and they left the Lord. What about Solomon? By the time he wrote Ecclesiastes, where do you think he was? Yeah? A man whom wealth almost destroyed. A man with such a great destiny. Glory to God. Read about Delilah. Before, nobody is lying about your life and they are taking you and they are killing you. Delilah. So when if a lady comes and lies to you but she's playing, you don't feel like, oh, you know, I was whatever and my heart was broken. When you read about Samson, you will feel strength rising. Hallelujah. You will feel strength rising. Feel free to even say, give me that strength. Yeah? Because Delilah... almost finished off Samson. She finished him. Some said she finished him. But God gave him another chance. So betrayal of the highest order. So it is this word, these holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. After you have read all that drama, I don't know what will be happening. Maybe your head will be so thick that wisdom does not enter there. Yeah? The word of God makes the simple wise. After you have read that, you even know how to talk to God. You go with exhibit A. And you're like, God, before I'm taken like Samson, please give me wisdom on this matter. Otherwise, this girl is going to finish me. And God will give you wisdom. Amen? Another way to grow is through discipleship and training. Discipleship and training. We are in a period where people don't like to be disciples. But all the apostles at one point, the great apostles, were at one point disciples. A disciple is a learner. You should be willing to learn. Amen? And we should be willing to learn all the time. Glory to God. We should be willing to learn all the time. Acts 2:42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. 46, this is what I really want to focus on. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Okay? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These were the disciples of the apostles. They continued. They sat together, continued being what? Learners. Hallelujah. People nowadays, they don't want to listen because there is a lot, people are learning from all sorts of places. People are learning from also, if they are learning from, some of them, by the way, okay, now, discipleship has gone also, I don't know, when you use the word discipleship, they think, oh, you know, you have to be under this person, hail them, as they, you know, I am a disciple of so and so, but all that, okay, that is not a place of discipleship. Discipleship is not about controlling people. It's about reproducing people. It's about training them. When you are mature, you get to a place where your life is not just about you. You start saying, Naye, the people who are under me, the people who are under me, the disciples of Jesus Christ, what will they think? So you're not able to do some of these things. The day your salvation moves from, your salvation walk with the Lord moves from me, myself, it is between me and the Lord. The day you move from making such statements to, I will not do this because this is what it will. I have the right to do it, but I'm not going to do it because it's going to affect so and so badly. You know, Tandi Sokula. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to write this. I'm not going to dress this way. I'm not going to be found in this place. I have every right as you to do those things, but I'm not going to do them. Why? Because so and so. When you're a parent, you get to that place where you start. Now, let me use an example of Brian. Brian has a baby who is dependent on the mother right now. Beautiful, beautiful family. And as we speak right now, Robin is the one who goes through all those challenges of, if I don't take this katogo, tomorrow, baby Helen will not have milk. So you're going to be forced to eat the offals. I've seen mothers, even me, I was one of the, I wasn't really because I always had the supply. But Bambi, those who do not have enough supply for their children, they tell them, nywa sere. Do you know what sere is? Sere, you know those things when you're moving through the whatever, nebukwata on the dress? They say, you know, I don't know what it's called in English. Nywa sere. Black jar. Beautiful. Black. Dennis, you have just had her. Oh, kamunye. I don't know what kamunye is called. Yeah? Some of those things, you will drink things just for the sake of having supply for this child. And meanwhile, the supply is using you as a stage through you too. So it's not like it's really helping you to sleep properly. No, it is through you too. While now Brian is actually, for him, he's on a chila. He's like, mwafidinze. Mwebase mutia. Ah, okay. You want burping? Bring. Ta-ta-ta. She burps. But Brian will come to a place as a father where he's like, you know what? I have two people depending on me. So when you want to buy that KFC, you look at the money, you look at the other truth, and you're like, you know what? Let me walk home so that I can give these people the KFC, a chance to buy the KFC they want. Fathers always, buy a clap for fathers. Even miracle fathers. Fathers put themselves on the line, by the way, whether you want it or not. Fathers put themselves on the line. Men, good fathers, yeah? Put themselves on the line for their families. I've seen them. I've seen fathers cry tears. I've seen fathers lose sleep over where the fees is going to come from. Certainly not my husband, because he has, for him, he will sleep. And tomorrow morning, he'll wake up and it will hit him in the face. Where am I getting fees? But he what? He slept. Yeah? Fathers put themselves on the line for many things. Hallelujah. Do you know a father will put himself on the line for the daughter's hair? I've seen those things. My daughter wants, what does she want? A kavili like this, Bambi. He will go work, only to get that money, give it to the daughter, and she does the hair style. And you're like, so you went, got 200K, and half of that you took to your daughter to plait her hair, but you are a father. That's called growing up, being mature. If you ever find a parent who does not sacrifice for even the luxuries, by the way, this is my whole point. Some parents sacrifice for the needs, the basics. You have power, you have what? You have food. That was my dad. You have this food at home. So power was too much, even that one. Sometimes, yes, even water mugende. But let me tell you now, the father of today, the men of today, we need to continue praying for them. Because they are going to sacrifice for the basic necessities, but even for the luxuries. Hallelujah. Where now the luxuries have become the basic necessities. Yeah. Parents, glory to God. Parents, praise the Lord. You're like, where, how did I get here? How did this thing turn into how did my privilege turn into a luxury for someone? Like, you see, eh? Parents, I've seen the engineer doing many things for his children. And I keep telling them, by the way, you had better thank your father because me, I didn't have these things when I was growing up. And it's good because when I see the things, I'm like, this man, he really loves his children. When I see what some of my friends do for their children in this church, I'm like, And on a normal day, they would not afford it for themselves. Yeah. They look at it, they're like, me, I cannot afford this food. But they will afford it for their children. What a wonderful time to live in with great fathers. Amen? Yeah. So we need to be disciples. We need to continue steadfastly in the word of God. Acts 19, 1 to 7. When we continue in the word of God, we will get blessed, and also God will help us to fill the areas where we are missing, where we have deficits. Why? Because nobody has the entire counsel of God. But if you don't give yourself to disciple, to being trained, to being taught, you are going to be that Christian who will be ngawenyela with a limp because you are not, something is missing. And that is what was happening to these guys. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus." Then when they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. 7. And now the men were about 12 in all. Imagine these men, if they were not being discipled or trained by Apollos. Apollos, in his Yabasomesebi Ariamani, all right? So, if they were not being trained by this guy, how would they even have gotten to Paul? But now Paul finds these men, the 12 disciples who are being discipled or trained by Apollos in the things of the way, the things of the gospel, the things of Jesus Christ. And then Paul comes and brings more enlightenment. So if you don't give yourself to training, and also people do not want to be trained, people don't want to be accountable. Why? Because when you're trained, you must be accountable, you must be humble. Everyone who has gotten to a high place, at one point, they were being trained. Hallelujah. That brings me to the last thing, which is service. Okay? Service, service, service. How do we make spiritual progress? It is through service. We are called, according to Acts 1:8, we are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. The scripture is up there. Judea, yeah? How does this translate to you? You are called to be a witness wherever you are. So where is your Judea? Maybe it is your workplace. Where is your Samaria? Maybe it is your community at home. Where you are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This means that one of the ways you're going to do this is by service. And when we serve, we grow. Like I had just said, everyone who is kuntobo of their career at one point was a servant somewhere. And even when they are there, they keep serving, but in another capacity. So service is part and parcel of your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Acts 6, 1 to 4. And now, no, there is no and. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, by whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Go back to 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, by whom we may appoint over this business. Do you know to serve tables, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost? I read it, I said, what? Making sure that everyone gets, you have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Here, it is there, right there. You have to have a good reputation that where you're not what? You're not a glutton. You're not greedy. And you're trustworthy. You're not going to get some of that food and pocket it, all the resources and pocket them. Okay? You have to be of good reputation. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Can you imagine? Just serving tables. It's like saying for you to be an usher in LAT, you have to be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. A good reputation. Hallelujah. If we are going to grow, we are going to have to serve. Amen? We are going to have to serve. The place of service is not they walk over you and all of that. If you have this in as your character, if you have this in you, grounded, or if God has worked this in you of the good reputation, the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, let me tell you, there is just no way you can look down on such a person who is of a good reputation. No, you cannot. So wherever you are, on the place of growth for us to grow and to mature, we are going to actually have to work the work God gave us to do. Not just here in church, but there in your office. Are you of good reputation? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you have wisdom? If you have all those things, then you are ready for service. Hallelujah. There are Christians who I think they should just be out of service. They are labeled here, out of service. Because they don't want to do anything. They don't want to do the work God told them to do. So we shall just get that placard and put it on you, out of service, like those bathrooms where you go, oh, out of service, then you go away. There are some people who just don't want to serve. They want to be served. Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom must always first be a what? A servant. Amen. So you want spiritual greatness? You're going to chase service. You're going to do the work God told you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lastly, just to encourage us about this, because this is our testimony. It's a testimony as LAT, walking in obedience, walking in... Sam is looking at me like, what is she going to say? This is our testimony. When you serve the Lord, when you do what the Lord has told you to do, there will always be a distinction between you and other people who do not serve him. So as I end, let me just go through the points for the day. How to grow. One, use prayer by praying. 2, give yourself to the ministry of the word and continue steadfastly in it. 3, be a disciple. Be given to learning. Be given to training. 4, service. You must serve where you are. You must do what the Lord told you to do if you're going to grow. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.